going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking forward to the weekend. Thursday was Thursday, Thursday. Today is Friday, Friday.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store, I loaded up with alcohol, more specifically vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That guy is ready for a draft.
I mean, lean into it.
Round two starts at 7. We're less than an hour away. The Bills have picks 56 and 62. Cleveland scheduled to lead things off at 33. It was prior to 7 o'clock last year, maybe as early as 6, when we started to hear Keon Coleman's name. Maybe earlier than that. It was kind of a known, not known, but expected thing that Coleman would be the Bills' pick. Right? You remember that way? As we got close to the start of the second round, it was like Schefter.
Yeah. Even. Yeah, I do not remember. I believe you. But I don't have that memory.
So last night, and by the way, lines are open for your calls on Hairston or what you'd like to see happen tonight. We'll have Sal on at 6:30 for another preview and go until 7, 803-0550 to jump on. Last night, two quarterbacks, two running backs, four receivers, two tight ends. So 10 skill position plus quarterbacks went. Not a big number. Only two of them will be on the Bills' schedule. McMillan with Carolina, and the Bills play at Carolina. And then Ibuka.
Tampa. Right.
Tampa is here. This year. All the others are not, kind of weirdly, maybe. I mean, you play a lot of teams, but not on the Bills' schedule. AFC East went offensive tackle, defensive tackle, and then the Bills' corner.
The other opponents, Cleveland did what they did with the defensive tackle, Graham.
We would have had Hunter.
Right. Baltimore got Malachi Starks, later on. Pittsburgh went defense too with Harmon. The Bengals went defense with Stewart, the sort of questionable statistical guy, but just a monster-looking athlete. Definitely looks the part. From Texas A&M, how am I doing here? Who else do I need to name?
Well, Houston traded out.
Traded out, so they didn't get anybody.
Kansas City went last and picked an offensive tackle.
Yep.
Philadelphia went second last. They
linebacker,
flipped. Yeah. Linebacker. Atlanta went defense.
Edge.
Oh, that's right. They traded up for a second pick.
They got two edge guys.
That's a crazy trade.
Yeah.
They got killed on that trade.
They gave up next year's first to move up. That was crazy. I mean, yeah. They moved out, you know, from, I don't know where they were in the second. I don't have the trade memorized. But, so, they had to come from, they were kind of in the middle of the round one. So, they had to come a pretty long way. But, wow, that seemed insane to me. They paid that price. But, you know, they've remade their edge in one draft. The Bills thought they did that a few years ago with Russo and Boogie Basham. Again, not both first-round picks. I mean, Pierce had a lot of fans, including Chris Trapasso, who we talked to every week leading up to this thing for almost 2 months. And
number one overall player.
Yeah. So, the other guy from Georgia's got his fans too. So, maybe Atlanta, I want to say I like what they got. But the price paid was pretty extreme.
And the one team we didn't mention was New Orleans on the Bills' schedule, and they drafted offensive tackle also pretty early. Well, I'm guessing that there'll be action tonight. I think they like their action. And I think a lot of teams might be jealous of the teams like in the top 10 tonight. And I say that this because of this. And it might not be, useful at all. But as we just went on about the draft in here every day for so long, we had mock drafts and analysts all the time, and there would be new names, of course. And a lot of those names, first round only, are still there. Edge rushers, corners, the Bills have already checked that box, running backs, receivers, there are the Nick Emmanuelles of the world,
right,
who didn't get picked last night. And these are players that a lot of teams are going to think very highly of. So lucky for you if you're picking early second, I think that would maybe be the sentiment. And here are the Bills with 2 seconds. They probably have what it costs to get up there if they were, interested. 2 seconds is, I get the math, the chart out again, 624 points. That's more than the first pick tonight.
Wow. All right.
So you wouldn't need to trade them both straight up for a pickup there. You'd get something else for it, probably. But I could see something like that. Because of the point about how they have, is it 10, still 10 draft picks? Now they've used one. And that wouldn't get them to the third round, necessarily.
Right.
But they could get to a player that they might be surprised is still there.
If they wanted to use 56 and a fourth, what does that get me? How high does that get me?
It gets you to 49, okay, or to 48. Right. Eight spots up.
Yeah.
That doesn't accomplish what I'm talking about.
That's not up to the top 10 of this round.
No. I think what we've learned here this year is day three picks suck in value. They're not...
it's not shocking.
They're not wanted picks.
No.
You kind of have to use them. I mean, relatively speaking. So, I don't know. I think that's just my gut feeling on tonight is that the Bills might want to stretch out a little bit, either move up some pretty good distance or get into that third round somehow just for be there. This is, again, maybe self-evident, but you get to you have pick 80 or something in the third round. That could be sort of a miracle spot sometimes for somebody you can't believe has made it that far. You take a chance on a guy with an injury risk or whatever it might be. This could be another team for Shedeur Sanders if he falls that far. We can afford this mid-third. Even late second, I don't think I would say that. I don't think that's a pick where you would ever say, well, we've got two, I can just try something here. No, but I think certainly Saturday is all about that. But I think in round three, that's where that makes sense to me. You just got to get in there, and they have to figure out a way to do that if that's what they want.
They're not. Right.
They're not in there.
Right. And we just said, I don't think we need to repeat it, was just a minute ago, that trading a bunch of junk from Saturday would leave them with a desert from wherever that pick would end up being to the fifth round. And I can't. I just have a hard time, as much as it is kind of a dart-throwing exhibition by that point, I just have a hard time seeing them take that long of Saturday off. So I'd be surprised if they did that. So I guess I'm saying if they are going to move, it's got to involve the 2-2s. And maybe to get a third, trading away 62 to someone who, you know, sees Will Johnson and says, okay, that's my price point. I want to go get him, right, if he falls that far even. But somebody like, whatever, anyone that some team just can't believe is still there. And they want to move, then, you know, maybe you can back out of there. You know, really just depends on who's available and how much they like what might be there in the third, you know. Because I'm not sure that the plateau of supposed talent extends that far. We've been talking all along here, like 15 into or through the second, maybe even into the early third. But it's got, at some point, there's got to be a break. And the teams, you know, teams that all have that judged differently. So there's no knowing where the Bills might view that tier break, or if they even agree that there's a plateau for as long as I'm suggesting. You know, maybe there's not. But if it ends sooner than I might think, then maybe the Bills want to stay where they are, get two guys that they think can help them in some way, shape, or form this year, not necessarily plug-and-play starter caliber guys, but someone that can, you know, be a part of the rotation on the edge, defensive tackle, like that. Given that they didn't get a guy, a big guy for the middle, I wonder if Sal is going to end up being right about all three of these picks going on defense. Because I think they definitely could use both spots, edge and tackle. And, you know, I have a hard time, you know, I think there's cases to be made for both. I think edge is obviously more impactful. It's bigger plays and sacks and potential turnovers, pressure on the quarterback. This tackle that we're talking about, where they're going to be drafting this player, is not someone who's going to come in and, you know, be a guy that's going to be a part of, like, oh, you got to wait till you see the Bills' new pass rush. Like, this guy, you know, if they draft this giant from Texas, that is not going to be that guy. That guy is, what a great job. You don't see what a good job he's doing.
No, that's right.
Right, because he's just tying people up and allowing Terrell Bernard to make plays and allowing Ed Oliver to make plays and all that. So, yeah, you're not getting impact there. Whereas edge, you know, you're still, I think, right? AJ Epinesa was a second-round pick. You're hoping to get someone that can be a part of your rotation and hopefully, you know, make some plays for you.
You'd take Epinesa from one of these picks,
I think,
you?
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he got a second contract. He's nobody's idea, I don't think, of a highly impactful player, but he's had his moments. He's made some big plays, athletic plays, tip passes for interceptions, that kind of thing. So he's been a useful part of the rotation. But, yeah, he's... So I wouldn't expect to do much better than that. But who knows? A guy like that hits his ceiling, maybe you do get more than what Epinesa has been so far. But yes, I would sign. If you're picking an edge guy at 56 or 62, I would sign right now for AJ Epinesa's first, what has it been, 4 or 5 years now with the team. I think I would take that out of an edge guy I draft there. You'd want to do better, but, you know, that's at least someone who's on the field for you.
Do you have a player in mind?
Well,
moving up, you'd have to move up for one of these guys we talk about every day.
I'm in worry, probably. Like, I can't imagine he lasts 24 picks into this round, but I also didn't think he'd last to pick 20 last night, so what the heck do I know? But so, like, yeah, he's still on the list. I like the Boston College edge guy, Azaraku, if I'm saying that correctly. If I'm not, I apologize. I've heard it said a few different ways. I like that idea. There's a lot of college production there, so I'm into that. I think the Mike Green, I wouldn't want the Bills to draft Mike Green, and I would be surprised if they would. Given the off the field stuff sounds a little scary.
There is, by the way, we haven't acknowledged this, some of that with Hairston that goes back a few years. Allegations,
right?
No charges, but he does have
something from when he was 17. Yeah, yeah.
Does have that.
I haven't been able to really, I did some, you know, sleuthing. I mean, I tried to find, but it's all just internet. There's nothing really solid to really go on and talk about and get really fired up about. I just couldn't get to a place where I could get you know, critical about it. I mean, it's an allegation that wasn't acted on. I mean, I think we all are wise enough to know that things like that can happen on college campuses and not, you know, justice isn't always served. But I have no, I don't have enough information to comment more than I already have. I haven't been able to find out any more information. So
the names, the general point about the players that we've spent time on that are still available, Ezeraku, Will Johnson, the corner's there too, but the Bills already did that. I mean, Johnson and Trey Amos are still available. Ravel is another one. So you have edge rushers. Emenwori is another one, is a big one. You've got these guys. You have running backs that'll be very interesting tonight. Still, it's always been the most interesting thing about this draft is what happens with running back, because how the position has been denigrated, and now you've got a year where there are a lot of promising backs. So what happens there? Are the Bills in that world? Probably not, I think. Probably not, but what it might tell you something about where they're at with Cook if they are. It would probably tell you a lot, actually, about that. Wide receiver, though. One of these names for me, this bucket, would be Burden. Four went last night, and, you know, that was pretty commonly expected. No surprise that any of those guys picked last night were, that includes Hunter, right? That no surprise that any of them were picked in the first round. That leaves Burden and that group of receivers that we would kind of like hear slipped in. Jaden Higgins is one. Trey Harris is one. Mm-hmm. Jalen Nowell is one. Io Manor, I talked about him a few times from Stanford.
Jalen Royals is another.
Royals.
Who's in for a visit with the Bills. Maybe Jack Besh.
Jack Besh, right. Yeah. And there are others that could all be day two picks. If wide receiver might be third on the priority list. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if Burden has a team that is a fan of his well enough so that he doesn't slide in the way I think these other defensive guys won't. Did that make sense? I think these defensive guys that might be great to have, edge rushers and the safety, I just think there's no chance that they fall unless there's an injury thing or off the field thing, and that's sort of a special case. Mm-hmm. But I think the receiver, you know, maybe could. And then running back is what it is. Quarterback is what it is. The Bills wouldn't do that. All the offensive linemen that go, the better. Because you're probably not in that game. Tight end, same. So I all I'm saying by this is Burden might still be in play at 56. You agree with that logic?
That he feels to me, that seems like a big fall to me. You know, for someone who had enough support, enough fans of his game for him to be the second or third, if you include Hunter, rated receiver in the draft, to get that far, boy, that just seems, it would surprise me is all. Like, I'm not as big a fan of this player as you are, but it would still surprise me if he fell far enough for the Bills to get, you know, unless they wanted to go try to go way up. Which, you know, mm-hmm. again, I don't think the two twos is too much. They don't have enough to really, so I don't know. If he gets to 40, maybe, then there's a conversation to have. Because if they can do one of the twos and a four to get to, what did you say, 48 or something mm-hmm. earlier, then maybe. But boy, I just have a hard time thinking a player who had the year he had 2 years ago, not his last year, but the year before, 2023, he looked like he was going to be the top receiver in this class coming off of that season. And I don't think much really changed for him. It was just the offense changed, quarterback changed, and there's, you know, there wasn't a lot around him. And so his stats dipped. Boy, I don't know. Unless teams are really scared about, you know, something, character, football, you know, does he love it? Attention to detail. Yeah, there is the route running thing that came up, you know, in the last week or so. But boy, that still seems like a long drop.
I just found a tweet from 10 minutes ago that Aaron Wilson, a Houston writer, reports that teams are looking to trade up into early round two to draft Missouri wide receiver Luther Burden.
Okay, well,
there goes that.
There's that then.
Just delete. We'll cut all this out in post. This will never be on the Odyssey app.
That's a Houston reporter. Yeah, they're early tonight, right? They're right in between the two Browns picks.
Yep, maybe got that from someone with the Texans who's telling him that that's a call they're getting. Right, it starts Cleveland with their own. That's the original first pick of the second round. Houston from the Giants trade for Jackson Dart last night. Tennessee, that's their own pick. The Titans, Browns, and Giants with all the same record. It's the how they...
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Put them in the order of the first round is, you know, who played the easiest schedule that had the bad record. So Tennessee went first, but they rotate them in future rounds. So it isn't Tennessee at the top in round two. It's Cleveland this time. Would have been the Giants. Now it's Houston. Tennessee third, Cleveland fourth. That's the Hunter trade.
And so that means the Giants lead off round three then?
Yes.
Okay.
Followed by Kansas City. And that is L'Jarius Sneed. Tennessee, right?
Okay, right.
That's that pick. And then the Browns. The Bills have the first pick in round six.
Oh, well, I sure hope they spend time fielding calls about that during the day off in between. No, that doesn't make sense. There's no day off in between. They'll just be plowing through this thing on Saturday.
That's for Boogie Basham, by the way.
Oh, the trade to the Giants? Okay.
The Giants got the Bills seventh and gave up their sixth, and that ends up being the first pick of the round.
All right.
That's a win.
Sure.
Let's check the math on that. The first pick of the sixth round is 20 points. And the Bills pick is one that went to the Giants. Huge win.
Oof, they killed them.
It's 60 That's spots, true. 70 spots.
Yeah. And Basham, is he even still there?
I don't know if he did anything.
I don't think he ever really played for them. So that's tough. Too bad for him.
We'll check in again with Sal after the break. Round two of the NFL draft gets going at 7. It is almost 6:30. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, WGR. Getting lots of bet online emails these days, draft odds and such. Today they sent the odds from last year on who will be the first overall pick in 2025. And Shedeur Sanders was the favorite. This was on April 29th of last year after last year's draft had concluded. Sanders was a 5-2 favorite to be first overall, followed by Carson Beck, who is not in the draft. He's still in school.
Okay.
Quinn Ewers, who is in the draft, I think.
Yeah.
James Pierce.
Okay.
Drew Aller, quarterback. He's not in the draft.
Nope.
And Milroe. And Hunter. At 12-1. Ward was 25-1. And Abdul Carter did have odds at 40-1.
I feel like Allaire is pretty highly thought of for next year already.
And maybe Beck.
I didn't see his name on that list when I saw it earlier today, but that doesn't have to mean anything. I could have seen an incomplete list for all I know. I just know Allaire's name stood out when I saw it.
I wanted to ask earlier, we don't have Sal yet, right? He's not with us. Which Bills game got the most better, so to speak, by what happened in the draft? Then we went through where each team they played, who they picked, and it's almost like
it's not really that hot, really.
No. I mean, Tet McMillan. The Bills will have to cover Tet McMillan at some point.
Yeah.
Did the draft, the first round of the draft only, change anything about how you'd want the schedule to line up? You need a minute on that. Yeah. If you even think it's worth it.
I don't love that the Dolphins got a guy that I think a lot of us coveted in Grant. But, you know, that's I'm not going to lose sleep about it until, you know, if he rises to the level of Christian Wilkins, a former Dolphins defensive tackle who's now on the Raiders, then, you know, then maybe. And that happened pretty quickly for him. Like that draft, that's the same draft as Oliver and Quinnen Williams as well. And there were some guys that really hit. Up front, and Wilkins was one of them. So if this guy does that, then it'll be a story pretty quick. But, you know, I'm not anticipating him being that much of a force right away. I feel like he's more going to take a year to or more to hit his ceiling. Grant, the big defensive tackle from Michigan who went to Miami at 13, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maxwell Hairston will wear number 31 for the Bills. He had his jersey there on display at the press conference today.
I guess that's it for Rasul Douglas then. If the pick of Hairston wasn't enough and the re-signing of Trey White and Dane Jackson already on top of it, but now they've given his number out.
Yes. That's fair.
Might as well give up on that, Rasul. I think it's not happening for you.
I think it's not. Yeah, you know, there are like Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen is another where, I mean, it says a lot if they're not signed by now, but like Keenan Allen could have been a candidate to go back to the Bears. Like Douglas, but their draft pick probably nixes that. They drafted Colston Loveland, a tight end, who I think that's kind of exciting, but they can line him up in the slot, I read, and might not need Keenan Allen back. They have DJ Moore. They have Odunze. They don't have Genty, though. The Bears were the favorite to get him. Jacksonville went the other way. Very exciting move. Legendary trade. Jacksonville and Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Just incredible on both sides. One of the biggest, I think I saw this as like the third trade ever or in a long time between two picks in the top five. Not common.
They're two kind of, you know, punchline franchises to an extent. Right? I mean, the Browns have been moribund here for... It seems like ever. I mean, they were in the playoffs a couple of years ago, but it was with Joe Flacco. I mean, come on. We're not really building towards something. You know, the Watson fiasco, all of that.
And with Mayfield.
Yeah, sure. That's right. That's
COVID.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. And but even that turned into a – like they couldn't figure out – you know, how much they liked him or how much they wanted to support him, or how much further they wanted to go with him. They let him go, and he's kind of hit in Tampa. It's working for him. He got a contract, not a massive, you know, market rate contract, but still. You know, they could have just stayed the course there. Instead, they pivoted the Watson thing, and that just blew up all over them. And most, I think, people that aren't Browns fans are still kind of laughing at them for all that. So that's them. And then the Jaguars have just been – like, you know, I've got Trevor Lawrence, 101. He looks the part. He looked like there was a breakthrough coming. They make the playoffs. And then it just has been sort of the wheels have been wobbling ever since.
Here's some news. It's not draft related, but it's kind of interesting. It was announced today by the league that Thanksgiving, the first Thanksgiving game of the day, which is always in Detroit, is being moved from 12:30 p.m. to 1. I like that. While I do very much anticipate that game starting the football day, fantasy lineups are due. I got three games, six teams, might want to make a bet. Probably cooking. We host. I could use that half an hour. I could use that half an hour. I like when it starts. Because here we go, 10
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, same here. I like that it's a half hour earlier. That feels like a getting a half day of school or something a little bit to me.
The 12:30 you like the 12:30?
Yeah, I like the 12:30 start. I don't have all the other. I mean, we're hosting and cooking usually, and really my part of that is sitting in front of the TV watching the Lions and peeling potatoes. It's easy enough to do. I just lay out some newspapers on the floor of the living room and just peel like however many pounds of potatoes it takes to feed 20 people. It's a lot of potatoes usually.
So, this is unusual with Sal, who's never not there right when you need him. So I'm thinking maybe we should break, and then if we get lucky to have him on, we'll take him to the end.
Okay.
Is that all right? All right. We hope to have Sal with us after this break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Round two of the NFL draft in just over 20 minutes. You can follow it right here on WGR. Welcome back. Closing in on round two of the NFL draft, 7 o'clock. It is quarter of. The Bills have picks 56 and 62. Will they move around? We don't know yet. Maybe. I'm betting yes. Not a bet. I'm guessing yes. I'm hoping. It's kind of fun. Trades. Something to talk about. Hairston fills a need. How interesting is it to talk about? It's, you know, it's fine, right? They needed a corner. They drafted one at the pick they had originally.
Sorry, I'm massively distracted by the room. Quinn Ewers, who just got mentioned here, Texas quarterback, is sitting in that is just full of dead stuffed animals, like taxidermy, like heads of animals mounted on walls, like dozens of them, moose, deer, elk. There you go, elk. Dude's got elk. I don't know.
Well,
I don't have the sound on because we're doing a radio show, so I don't know if that's his house or what. But
will teams like him for it?
Right.
Sal Capaccio with us on the Westher Hotline. Sal, about 15 minutes to go here. Any scuttlebutt?
Yeah, first of all, I want to apologize to you guys. I know that I think I was scheduled to come on with you about 10, 15 minutes ago, but quite honestly, I keep my ringer off in the media room because I don't want to be distracting to other people working. And I happened to be talking with some people, and we were going through some things, and I was listening back to Maxwell Hairston talk. So my apologies for not coming on, but here we are now. So hopefully everything's okay.
All's well that ends well, Sal. We got you. That's all that really matters.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Thank you. But anyway, no, scuttlebutt, I think, is just kind of, you know, recapping Hairston, right? People just kind of talking about some things that he said, you know, what kind of fit he is. And then obviously looking ahead towards tonight, I would say that, you know, majority in the media room feel the same way I do, which is they're going to concentrate on defense. They can go in a number of different ways. You know, I think at this point you start talking about guys who have some concerns off the field. We talked about Mike Green a little bit, talk about Will Johnson, different reasons right. for those. I talk about Emin Wari. We talked about him earlier, which is I don't think that there's a spot for him to start, but that's the type of player that you take him in the second round, you find a role for him, right? So I wouldn't doubt that you could grab a player like that at this point, but I still think you lean D-line early in tonight.
Sal, I spent so much time talking about him here. I hope it hasn't been annoying to you or Mike or the audience, but how surprised, if at all, I mean, it happens that a guy that is thought to go as high as, I think I saw him mocked as high as the middle of the round, if not even higher than that, you know, falls all the way out of the first round. Do you think there's some concern that he just is one of these guys that's a freaky athlete but won't have a handle on a position? Lewis Cine comes to mind, Georgia safety from a couple of years ago, a first-round pick. He ended up here with the Bills last year on the practice squad working with the linebackers. I remember late in the season talking with you about him. Like, is that an idea? Are they carving out a role for him or whatever? And then he just went on his way. Like, I wonder if teams are scared of him being a great athlete but maybe not a great football player.
I think that's absolutely a concern. Listen, I remember this conversation when Jabril Peppers came out. Remember when that happened from Michigan?
Yes.
And I said, I don't know where you put him. And I think there's a difference between this guy can play everywhere because he's so versatile, or this guy can play a lot of different things, but he doesn't have a true position. Isaiah Simmons, right? I think he's been a guy like this in the National Football League. There's been a few others as well, and you kind of just, you have to do it right. Look, the Bills just, though, the funny thing is the Bills have a player like this. His name is Michael Hoyt.
Right.
This is what Michael Hoyt is in the front seven, not in the back seven, in the front seven. And I question that. I actually talked to Lorenzo Alexander after the Bills signed Michael Hoyt about this. And Lorenzo said, yes, that is absolutely something that can happen. He said, in fact, his first year, Lorenzo's first year in Buffalo, he said they were struggling with that. And like Sean had to kind of figure out where to put him and where to use him. And then they ultimately did. So that is absolutely a real thing. Now, in the meantime, you put him on special team. You'll let him just kind of go to work, do his thing, and then you figure it out as you go. So a player like that, you could put on the field. You could use as a chess piece, if you will. I think the Bills at least have a spot for a guy like that because they like to play big nickel when they can, right? Sean McDermott knows how to play big nickel with Shaq Thompson like he had in Carolina. That being said, though, I do think that concern is real, Bulldog, where you have to think, is it valuable enough to take a guy where we don't really know when or where he's going to play?
Sal, I am just in a trade mood here, and I think the Bills might, for reasons we've already been gone over, the top 10 or so names that are on the board right now, if you could get that far here, would maybe be kind of appealing to a lot of teams, and maybe turn the two late seconds into an early second and a third, mid to late third somehow. The math is pretty close there. I think it's logical. You have a gut feeling on whether they'd be in the mood?
I think they're always in the mood. Brandon Bean is always in the mood to make deals, no doubt about it. I think there's going to be opportunity for him to move up because of them picking so far in the round. But I also think there's opportunity to move down, A, because they don't have a third-round pick, and you know it wouldn't be bad to get one, and then maybe you can get additional picks on top of it. But B, because their two picks are pretty close together, guys. Right? I mean, like, you could use them. I think there's a spot in the fifth round where the Bills are back-to-back, actually. And then there's another time right around then when the Bills have four picks out of, like, 10 or 11 or something like that. It's kind of crazy. And I think those are the spots where maybe you could say, okay, well, we don't have to pick right here, right now. We have so many right around the same spot. So that's why I do think that between 56 and 62, maybe one of them gets shipped. The question is, does 56 get shipped up or does 62 get shipped down?
It is 4 out of 9 between picks 169 and 177. The Bills have 4 of those 9 picks at the moment. All right, so defense. Are we talking the big tackle again? Edge, one of each?
Yeah, I think defensive line, defensive tackle, edge rusher, definitely both in play. I'd really be curious to see if Donovan Azaraku, that's how you say his name, by the way, just so everybody knows.
Thank you, Azaraku. I've been saying it wrong. Thank you.
Yeah, it's okay. Me too. And we had to go over it in the media room just in case. Like, we went and looked at pronunciations, and it looks like the emphasis is on the second syllable from everything we saw, which is Azaraku. I'm sorry, Azaraku. See, there you go. I did it. Azaraku is how you say it. 16 and a half sacks, led all of FBS last year at Boston College. Is that a player that the Bills, you know, could put right on the team? But, you know, if you do that, again, you're probably the fourth defensive end, depending how the team feels about Javon Solomon. And that's not counting Michael Hoyt, who's going to come back from suspension. So I do think there's kind of a numbers game you have to start playing here in the second round. I still believe, though, that numbers game matches up with defensive tackle guys. They've drafted defensive tackle tonight. Chances are he's playing. He's on the roster because Larry Ogunjobi isn't on the roster for the first 6 weeks, and they only have three other NFL players on the roster at that position. Zion Logue could wind up making the team, but he was a practice squad player last year. So to me, I think defensive tackle is where you have a chance to actually add to your team to with a guy that's going to play.
Yeah, it obviously depends on, you know, what they think of the prospects, but I feel like edge, like if the right edge guy, this is where like the idea of moving up a little bit, like packaging the two or one of those twos with something else to get up a little higher. Like if, say it again for me, as
Azaraku.
Let's
Azaraku.
Just take him off the board. I don't want to have to say.
I promise I will learn. Azaraku.
Easy to somebody. Yeah. Easy.
Right. Like, I feel like if that's a guy, that's a more impactful position potentially. I don't mean to like blow off defensive tackle because they're going to need another person in there and eventually someone to be the number one guy there because Daquan Jones is not, he's already 34 years old. So I get it. I feel like the edge guy has a chance to be, you know, maybe as impactful as AJ Epenesa, which I know is only a certain level of impact, okay? But we were talking last segment, like you draft an edge guy tonight, I would take AJ Epenesa's career so far. Like I think that's a win. Sure. He's not great, right? You know, like, oh my God, we drafted TJ Watt. But, you know, he's been, you know, a useful player and made some big plays at times too.
He earned a second contract. Right. I mean, like, I think that's all you want. If you can draft a guy the second, third round, they earn a second contract, I think you call it a win for that. It's really interesting about this debate, and I'm with you, right? Like, you probably could just go out and get a veteran defensive tackle, which they've done, and that's how they've treated the position. The word impact is really interesting to me, though, because I think the Bills see impact maybe a little bit different than a lot of fans do or media do, which is it doesn't have to be impactful on the stat sheet. They have a smaller linebacker in the middle in Terrell Bernard and an older linebacker, and who's not the biggest, but in Matt Milano, who's had a couple injuries. for the Bills, I think part of the impactfulness is keeping those guys healthy and clean to let them do their job. And that's why I think it's still very important for them.
Sal, have a great night. Thanks for coming on again.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
There you go. There's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Time again for us to turn it over to Nate, Derek, and Zach. Rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Big. I mean, these are important players. Tomorrow, I mean, just throw them back. But these are important players. So we'll be back on Monday to talk about everything that went down. Thanks for being with us today, yesterday, all week, all this three-month-plus-long period of really cramming on the NFL draft, which mercifully is finally here. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, again, see you Monday at 3 right here on WGR.